The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Hi, everybody. Welcome to White Cane Travels podcast. This will be podcast number 17. A slow start, but one I think that you all should be very well interested in. Why? Well, this podcast is going to talk about how we, back in the day, all of us who participate in this podcast are a little older, but back in the day, how we have been able to get around large buildings, more specifically schools. And I talk about why, and we talk about first schools, and then we get into other buildings like me and the hospital where I am a volunteer, and how that worked out too. We go into a bit of directions, and we sort of talk about that. And my guest this time is none other than Herbie Allen, who was on podcast number 11 talking about accidents. And so we hope that you will enjoy the program as much as I have putting it together, and I look forward to listener participation and everything else so that we can try and figure out what people would like us to talk about here on White Cane Travel. I might have another topic, but I'm not exactly sure how to go about this, so some thought still needs to go into this, but I might have another topic for you all. But in the meantime, let's get into this, and I will catch up with you all very soon. All right, folks, welcome to podcast number 17, White Cane Travel. I'm Jared Reimer. And with me is none other than one who's been on this podcast about, what, five podcasts ago? Four podcasts ago?
Something like that.
Welcome back, Herbie.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, I was going back to the school for a function that we were going to attend, and it occurred to me, I don't think any of White Cane Travel's podcasts talked about school travel and the preparations we have to go through before we actually go there for the first time, whether we are there for long term or short term or whatever. So I figured I would get somebody on to talk about their experience, more recent, because mine was, it wasn't that recent, but it wasn't with a mobility instructor. It was with the agency I was with, that I'm with, and so I thought I would take it in a different level. And while my agency did do a good job with training me with where I needed to go for the particular class and making sure I was safe, I thought I would ask you, because you've gone to a college and you actually did go with an instructor, a mobility instructor, and I thought maybe that would be a good topic to discuss.
All right, so my experiences with college and mobility instructors are rather interesting. If I go back, first of all, to my experiences with community college, that I was in Washington State, and it was back in 2002, 2003. And I did not get any help from state services at the time, because they did not have anybody that could do mobility in that particular area that I was living in, for whatever reason. And so I had to rely on my family, and in one instance, because my mom worked at a school district, she knew a mobility instructor that was willing to volunteer some time to help me out a little bit for one lesson. And that was at a community college that had several buildings, so the lessons were very important. Well, fast forward many years, and I'm now going to university, and I did not go to community college for all that time between 2004 and now with the university. But what did happen is my wife, Chanel, was going back to college first, and she got help through the State Services for the Blind here in Houston, Texas, and she got a mobility instructor, and it helped that I was able to tag along, and the instructor was helping us navigate around the college, but he really picked a bad time to do so, because the halls were crowded, it was finals week in the middle of November, and it really made it hard to learn, and you could not do effective techniques like knowing which walls to follow and all that. And then also, this instructor was very cardinal direction minded, north, south, east, west, and, you know, Chanel is not, that doesn't help with a lot of blind people with mobility. But I was able to, thanks to being able to tag along, because for whatever reason, I did a better job of grasping the routes where she needed to go for the school. Because I think I do better, a little bit better understanding sometimes, just understanding of where I'm at. And it's, I don't know even if I can explain it any better than that. And I, just so everything is clear, I'm not implying that Chanel or any other blind person is dumb or not dumb because they can't understand everything mobility-wise. Different people have different things they excel at. So, you know, just so everybody understands, you know, Chanel graduated with all A's and is going on now to cure cancer and save the world. Okay, that last part's an exaggeration, but the first part. But the I'm trying to indicate that this is just talk about fact that we're, you know, we're dealing with somebody that has all cylinders firing, that, you know. So anyway, then getting back to my original point is, after Thanksgiving, school settled down, and I used my level of understanding to really do a lot more intense mobility instruction. Like, you know, because I'm not an instructor that only has 1 or 2 hours, you know, we spent a good half day on really nailing down routes. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a nice mobility instructor. You don't want to work with me, because the way I do things is I do it in 3 stages. I first, you know, make sure you learn the route, you know, get you all nice and good and comfortable. Then, actually 4 stages. Then the next part is you get to practice the route with me following a little little bit of ways behind, and I do not easily bail you out. Mm-mm. You get to get lost, and unless I'm getting super lost, then maybe I might bail you out then. But otherwise, forget it. And then the third stage, you get to do it all by yourself, and I'm not around. And then the fourth part is really, you know, it's really fun, is mixing up routes. So, for instance, routes might include to the disability services office, to the food court, and to the classrooms. And those are in three different parts of the building. You know, one's in the south hallway, one you have to go to the east hallway. So I translated the north, south, east, west to, you know, left and right in terms of, you know, so I, you know, instead of having, you know, remember, because I found that was being more confusing if I said, okay, this is in the north, south hallway, this is in the south hallway. Well, what's north and south? Well, they're two different hallways with an intersecting hallway that goes left and right. And
that is so, definitely, you know, confusing.
So, yeah, and it can definitely be confusing. And that college is really confusing because you've got north, south, east, west, which is one building, and then part of that building, you've also got the A building, which is a totally different set of elevators. So you might have to memorize a class. You might have two classes that are in S 470 and A 622. And you have to, and thankfully this university has Braille on all the classrooms, otherwise I would be in trouble. But
I think we all would be in yeah. trouble.
But, you know, I would also, you know, practice routes. Okay, can you get from the disability services office to the food court and strategize how you would figure that out? And so the long and the short of it is, now if anybody comes to Houston and you want to know how to get around University of Houston downtown, I can show you how to get around the main building. And, you know, thankfully, you know, it was really only because of, I think, my added instruction. We both agree it was because of my added instruction. She was able to really nail it down because, you know, I was able to work at a different pace than an actual mobility instructor was able to do. And some are different than others.
Now, with my college, or the one I've been going to for this whole ordeal, there isn't Braille everywhere. In fact, in some spots, there is none outside the building. Some of the classrooms are, and in one that we attend, the Braille is actually fading. And so I've learned to do it without Braille, and I guess because of my partial vision, I'm able to tell landmarks.
And that's another key thing, too, is I should mention that, you know, like, you have partial vision, I have light perception, which can help sometimes. That can really get confusing, because I can see light coming through something and not know if it's a glass door or a glass window. I just see light, and I want to go for
light.
It. And then Chanel has no light perception or sense of smell, so
no sense of smell.
Nope. So you don't even have that as a landmark.
Yeah, that can make it.
But she can get around that building a lot, you know, thanks to my help. She can definitely get around that building now, so she could also give you some mobility, too.
Good.
Maybe even nicer about it than I am. I don't know. But she still stayed married to me, so I must have not been too bad. I mean, but yeah, no, we don't have any partial vision to rely on, so that can really
light perception can make it interesting, to say the least. Watch out for that.
Well, I mean, like there's light perception. Like my light perception, I cannot see shapes or anything. It's just pure light, and I can tell the difference usually between sunlight and room light, so skylights can confuse me. I want to think
skylights pretty much have an in for me. All right, where's that light and why is the sun glaring in my
Yeah, see,
face?
I just think, oh, is that the sun glaring coming through a window? And that's what
See,
it's like to me.
I know it's a, but I know it's a skylight because I don't sense a window and
Yeah, but see,
it's
you have
like
the
in the
partial
middle of the
vision
room.
that tells you all that.
True.
And that is a huge difference. If you're helping anybody with mobility, their partial vision is a whole new. Different people rely on it different ways. And
Yeah.
I can't emphasize that point, but. And any partial vision person out there, my advice to you is use your cane because it's better, I think, if you look blind, so that way people, for good or for bad, treat you that way. Because I've known people that have gotten ticked off when they see, like, they've had, like, a low vision person that I, like, knew this one low vision person that didn't use their cane for anything, and some sighted people couldn't understand why that they were blind at all, so they were frustrated with. When this person was asking them, what bus number is this? And to them, they thought it was a stupid question because, well, can't you see the bus number? When in reality, they couldn't. But
Yeah.
because they didn't have their cane, they weren't
See,
identifying as blind.
I have my cane, and I'm pretty good about taking it. I did forget it once, and I sort of paid for that later. I was able to get somebody to bring me one, but most of the time I carry my cane, and the occasions I have forgotten it, I have been able to go back for it. And my dad was asking me, "How come you don't, use your cane to go down the sidewalk first thing in the morning?" He's like, "Well, it hasn't changed, but I will use it to cross the street." And that's sort of what happened. I went to take it out to cross the street. All right, where's my cane? I went without it because otherwise I was going to be late. Yes, I probably could have gotten kicked for that, but I was very cautious. I was using my wristbands,
And you have
which
that low
helped.
vision to rely on.
And I have the low vision to rely on. But when I got where I needed to go, the agency that I'm with has been trying to get me to use the cane around the hospital, even though I know my way around there. And I'm slowly starting to go there. By Thursday afternoon or Thursday morning, I went out and I took my cane out, but yet I knew that I was going to be helping pushing a cart, and so I didn't really take it out. By the time I got to the third floor, I got a message asking me to use my cane, but I ended up pushing the cart after all.
See, normally what I do in the few cases where I encounter carts, I just pull them so I can use the cane and the cart at the same time.
Well, it depends what's on it. And I find that pulling it is a bad idea for me because it runs into the back of my foot.
Ah, that can be a problem, and that's where you have to know how to stand to one side of it, but.
Yeah. So,
But even the few times I've dealt with a shopping cart when I've had to, if our ride comes and it's just me or whatever, there's no sighted person around, I'll actually go to the back of the shopping or the front of the shopping cart and pull it so I can use my cane at the same time with the other hand rather
yeah.
than pushing it from behind with a handle.
But it also depends, what's on it and how many things are on them.
Well, we wouldn't want you pulling carts with radioactive material on them, that's for
No,
sure.
it well it's not well it's not the, radioactive. It's how many items are on it and how heavy the thing is.
Yeah.
So, but it is, I mean, it is worth a try. I'm not against it. It's just for me, my personal opinion is that if I feel comfortable around there, and of course, the the tip-off is that I'm relying on my vision to tell me what's in front of me, and if it is not too tall, right? So, you know, if it's stacked to the point where I can't see, I'm going to do it a different way. And so I do rely on my vision in this case. And there are parts of this hospital where the lights are dimmer than in others. And sometimes that scares me. All right, what happened? And I suppose that's why they're sort of telling me that I should use my cane so that people are aware of it. And I understand why they're doing that. You know, a lot of them were there when they got the training that I posted on podcast 13. And so I'm not against it. I'm slowly like understanding why they want me to do it. Although I'm like still in the refusal stage, but I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's more of a personal preference for me. I'd rather not use a cane in a familiar place I'm in, but there's always that risk. And this even goes to training around the schools, right? Where you know, one day you're taking the route you normally take, it's fine. The next thing, something could be right there and you don't see it or sense it. Or
one of the big things that's really a problem is you've got people in the way and you've got Metrolift you're trying to run for. That's really a problem.
Yes.
People at that college have a really annoying habit in general of just, they're staring at their phones and not looking at anything.
Where they're going.
So they don't, that doesn't help either.
And, so, you know, it's funny you say that, because, go ahead.
Well, sometimes they'll have events or whatever, so there'll be extra tables and, like, this big open area that, you know, I have to suddenly navigate around, and that's really fun, but.
Yeah. So, you know, I see, you know, of course, you know, in the college, I would use my cane because I really don't know my way around there. I know only a couple of different places, and so I would, but, you know, I'm feeling like in the hospital, I really don't want to, but they're getting me to sort of go there, like, because, like, when I first went there, I was using my cane because I didn't know a lot of where I was going, but now I feel confident. And
you know, I made the mistake once of going around a place where I worked, at the EPA it was, and not using my cane, and I mistook an opening for a bigger opening and bumped my head, and that was not fun, so. But I know, too, at the same time, you know, like, a lot of times, especially in smaller areas, like at the post office, I knew where I was going, so I didn't always use my cane to get around, you know, to the different machines. Granted, they were all lined up in a wall, but I could still go from the along the wall, at least, you know, from the big vending
one to
office
the other,
all the way to the a smaller storeroom without ever using my cane.
Yes.
I've done it enough now where if I had to and I'm in an emergency, I could probably get around the UHD without a cane. It would take me twice as long because I couldn't see where I was going, but I'd have a feel for where I was going.
Yeah.
But, again, if you have low vision, that can be a totally different experience.
Yeah. And we're not advocating for not using the cane here. This is just experience we're talking about.
I think part of the problem is though is that sighted people don't, in my experience, at least, is sighted people don't understand that not all blind people are the same. Some of us get routes and mobility better than others. And
yes. But I think you know, like, I understand where they're coming from in the hospital,
yeah,
because there's always new people and that have never seen me, and so they're gonna, you know, especially if I got both hands free, you know, then why not, you know,
but
then they're aware.
Can you see well enough to avoid them?
That depends. It
yeah,
depends
that,
on
mm-hmm.
yeah, it depends on where we are. And it depends on whether I see them
Right.
Because sometimes I see, like, a cart first, and then, like, I hear something behind me, and I don't really have enough time to react.
Yeah,
so,
see, now this is another aspect that I want to help. This might all help you all for those of you that don't understand light perception. So Jared, in his low vision, his vision is affected
by light.
The light and or the lack thereof. Mine, while it affects how I understand my surroundings in terms of, oh, it's light or it's dark, it doesn't affect it beyond that. Now, oops, okay, stupid computer. Now, maybe if I was, like, expecting a room to be lighted and it all of a sudden wasn't, you know, that could throw me off. But
like, you know where, you know where it gets me confused?
Where?
Just the other week, we went outside to go get some food because they were having, you know, like these food trucks come in and we all got free food. And so I'm using my cane because I'm going outside, you know, we're crossing this service road or parking lot or whatever. All right, fine. So I'm carrying my food. And I told them, now's the opportunity for you to take me by the arm because I can't hold on to you. I got both hands taken. So I've already given them permission to sort of guide me by the arm, right? Mm-hmm. I get back inside. It's like, wait a minute. Where am I? And why does it look so dark in here? And it took my eyes a bit to adjust to the fact that it was the normal light on that side of the hospital trying to get to the cafe.
And see, yeah, for me, I wouldn't have that. I might register that it's dark, but it still wouldn't affect my overall sense of direction. Because I don't rely
I'm still
on
confused
the light.
About the I'm still confused about the direction, cuz like we're on the west. We're sort of like on the west side, but yet there's a west elevator on the actual, they call it the west wing of the hospital, but that elevator only stops on the first floor. So we're like, but like when I enter the hospital, I'm east, and there's two sets of elevators. They call them the south elevators, but we're not really going south. We're like going east.
It's the same with UHC, actually, yeah.
And so, you know, they're calling the, you know, it's like circled, like they'll call it like a code, and it's like, you know, West Tower, and I'm thinking West is outside, you know, going to Van Owen, and not their what they consider West, which right. is, like, okay, so when I go in, it's East, and you go through this little hallway, and you turn left, so that's technically. North. You go right again, that's south. Oh no, that's east, right? So that's east.
Well,
and
if
then,
you're coming in from the east and you go to the right, that would be north, and then to the right would be west.
Yeah. So south and west. So okay, so I see where they get the south. But the thing is when you turn left over there at the front entrance, you're going north. And when you get to the end of that hall, you go east again, and then you go north. They call that the West Tower. It's not west. People are coming in to the right. To the right of where they greet you, because it's the door is a little further away. But I'm facing north. Not west.
Right. Well, yeah. It can get a little bit confusing because, for instance, if a room number is south something or other, you may not know. It's hard to sometimes judge, okay, is it going to be more to the east side of the hall or to the south side?
Yeah. And see, directions indoors, and this is where the school thing comes in, you know, and I guess the hospital. You're throwing your directions out the window because they mean nothing.
See that, but that's the thing is for me, they actually do. I know the difference between on the third floor, for instance, which is the main first floor. It's kind of weird, but I know the
Just
difference.
like Metro's building, the third
Yeah.
floor is where they, I mean, they do have people on the first floor, but
The first
like the
floor is where
third
they come
floor
in,
is,
but yeah.
yeah, the
But
third
the
floor
third
is like where
floor,
the main action is. They
yeah.
got the boardroom that, and
The
our
third
meetings
floor is
up
kind
there.
of the main floor, really. The first floor is where the parking garage is, all that. But the third floor is like, I know, for instance, the North Tower elevator. That's going to take you right to the third floor, and you're still on the north side. So that hallway has the restrooms. It now contains a hallway, sub-hallway to go down towards disability services. And then you go down to further intersecting hallways, and the east side is where the bookstore is and two sets of elevators. The west side is the student services, financial aid, Elixir of Life is in that direction. I mean, Starbucks, food court. South hallway is where the old disability services office was.
But are
And
you
you would just go
facing
to the.
those directions? That's the question.
Well, when you're in the north hallway, you're facing south, even though you're in the north hallway.
Oh, see, I'm already lost.
Yeah, you're in the north hallway, but if you. In the north hallway, if you're facing the south hallway,
Okay.
then you are facing south and you're going north to south.
Right.
And so. And I think
But see,
maybe
like
that's
with
the only
them,
way to
they,
really explain it. And.
yeah, they like with the hospital, they say this is the West Tower, but frankly, we're going north and south along that hallway.
You might be
That's
going
not
north and
west.
south in the hallway, but you're still in the west side of the building in terms of location of the building. So,
Yeah,
for instance, you could.
that's sort of how Frank explained it to me, which sort of
I
makes a
mean, you
little more
could.
sense.
Okay, let's put it. See if this makes sense. You could be in a circle room, but you could be going in a straight line, even though the room is in a circle, if you're going from one side of the hall to the other, if you're following the center of the room and not the actual curve of the wall.
Yeah.
So, the west hallway, it doesn't mean you're automatically pointed west, but you're in the west side of the building. So, if the building is like, say, a cross, four-sided, then imagine yourself, put your finger on. So, imagine, yeah, like imagine a cross. So, put your
Right.
finger on the right side of the cross, that would be west. And so, but now if you move your finger up and down, it's going north to. South to north because of the direction you're actually facing. But now, if you were to turn your fingers 90 degrees to the left, then you could go west to east or vice versa. So it's
Yeah.
really two directions, and I know, and it confuses a lot of people, and it's not how I you know it's I've had to learn
And I
that.
remember when we used to get training, when I went to, Nobel or to Birmingham, they'd take us weeks before school started and get us familiar with, all right, this is where the bus is going to take you, gonna drop you off. Here's where the resource room is.
But what I'm
Here's
curious
where you're.
about is, are there really, now do they have enough mobility instructors that can really cater to,
Several of us?
like in my case, I really had to work not just in hour-long blocks because I had other students, I had to really do a full, at least two good half-day sessions, with Chanel. To
Yeah, I don't know.
really.
I don't know how it worked with us, because I know that there
And this
was
is where it
one
gets
mobility
interesting, is different
instructor for all
people
for
learn
like I
routes differently, and that's where, I
yeah.
wonder
Well, and
do
then we
how.
got mobility training, and then we got mobility training once we got our schedules because we didn't
Right.
have know what our where our classes
were. I
guess
the overall question is, should we rethink how we do mobility and try to cater it more to how a person is able to learn?
Yes.
No, we can't just do it one size fits all. Not everybody's going to learn the same thing within an hour slot that somebody else is, and that's just...
No,
what it would have been like if we'd have been able to wait till that school hadn't been crowded. That certainly made it a whole lot easier.
True.
But then, too, and then here's the other thing. I understood cardinal directions. That helped. But, you know...
I understand cardinal directions, but I just did, like... Like, it seemed to me, it's like, all right, what side of the hospital is this? Because I'm facing east, and they're telling me, you know, one direction is like,
to me, it makes sense. Sometimes I have to pause to think about it to make sure I'm completely coordinated, but I can make sense of it, but a lot of people can't.
But, like, I made sense of it. I finally made sense of the south elevators. The ones we take to deliver stuff.
I had a mobility instructor once telling me a story about an uncle that you ask him where something was in the kitchen and he'd tell you nothing but cardinal directions. Like the forks are on the south wall in the north drawer.
Oh my god.
I was getting lost there. That would be a bit much there.
And the
mobility instructor who was used to cardinal directions, you know, was even that's too much, and she sighed it, and you know, she's like, "What?
and you know, if you've heard the podcast, or maybe I told you that the folks at the agency, I was trying to teach them directional corners. All they know is that they're going down Van Nuys Boulevard and they're going north. Should I take you outside and show you? And even today, I don't think they still understand.
Have you ever tried using the iPhone compass?
Yes. Not inside the hospital. And I now that you asked me, I think I will.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at it. Because I think it's going to tell me that when I go into the hospital, I'm facing...
Right.
East, because of the fact that that's the direction I'm facing. But I am interested to see what it has to tell me. That would be interesting to play with. I don't know if I'd do it when I first got there, but, you know, maybe I'd, you know, on a route that I normally take, all right, what direction am I facing? Right? So I can sort of better understand the whole layout of the whole thing. And so, yes, I did give it some thought, to, you know, because I know I've never used a compass until I got the iPhone. I tried one of the other ones, but I never understood how the hell it worked. But this one sort of, let's see, do I have to turn on Wi-Fi for this to work, or does it,
The compass?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Alright, so, if I unplug my phone, let's see, where is my compass? Where did I shove it? Oh, yes. Yes. So, hold the device flat for accurate bearings, 97 degrees east.
98 degrees E. Hold the device flat for accurate bearings.
But, yes, that's right. I am facing east.
102 degrees E. Hold the device flat for accurate bearings. 91 degrees E.
No. Yeah, it's right. For accurate bearings. That is accurate.
81 degrees E.
So.
All right.
No, that's accurate. It's showing that I'm east, which is correct. It's showing 81 degrees, but I'm holding the phone. So, but yeah, it. But that's
well,
right
maybe
in my
the,
own house.
Compass would help you with navigating the hospital.
So I should go to the west side and see if it shows that I'm facing.
Yep.
What direction I'm facing?
Probably when you go in the doors, my guess is you'd be facing east, but if you were facing the doors, you'd be facing west. That is my guess.
Alright, it's... And that's probably where they are getting it from, even though I'm... Yeah. And I guess it turns out that the phone has done wonders with... You know, because it's right. My street's a north-south street, and I am actually...
Right.
So... I can see myself... you know, when I go down the hallway, it's... You know, from here to the kitchen, it's north-south. Actually, is... Yeah, it would be east. Just because of the... Like, when I go out the front door, the sun's behind me. So I know that...
Mm-hmm.
My computer's facing like I would go out through the sliding doors to the backyard. So in that perspective, it's right. But this whole discussion is talking about, you know, navigation and, you know, early training, right? Like how do you know? Yeah. I told the agency, I don't even know where I'm supposed to be going. I can get to, you know, Valley College Station.
You know,
but then I don't know where to go, so...
Yep. You know, it's interesting. My very first mobility training was... They didn't even teach a sighted guide till the first grade, but then also in the first grade... or was it kindergarten for this part? But the actual first thing they used was not a cane, but a hula hoop.
You know what they used with us? They used a thing... you know, they were teaching us directions first before they even gave us a cane or allowed us to.
By the way, folks, just so you know.
Yeah, back in like 85, 86 for me, they had a square thing. You know, they had four blocks on it with grass things for streets, and they were teaching us directions first. And directional corners and various things before we even touched a cane. That's what I remember. So it is definitely... I wonder what they do today. Because...
Hopefully a little bit better than a hula hoop, but...
I don't remember the hula hoop. I don't remember ever getting a hula hoop.
I don't know. So far, I think I've been the only... Me and the other people in my school might have been the only ones in the role that ever had that method. I have no idea.
All right, so talk about it, because it's something I'm not familiar with. What did they do with it, besides teach you how to use it?
You held it in front of you, and you dragged it.
Okay.
That's really all there is to it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't know how common that particular method was or is. You know, I don't know the whole reasoning behind it. I didn't think to ask questions back when I was six about proper funding or canes or... I mean, this is pre-ADA, so I wouldn't have
back when we were six, we didn't even know how to really use a cane. They gave me a cane. Oh!
Nope.
So...
But, you know, it was actually interesting. On a show the other day on 986 The Mix, which you should check out, by the way, at 986themix.com for great music and programming, including the Herbie Allen Show every Sunday from noon to 3, where we play Magnatune and... Wait a minute. I think I'm going to... No, my show is actually 9 to midnight Central Time. But anyway, the point I was going to make was...
So on a show... So hold on, we're recording this...
We'll go back... The point I was trying to make, actually, and then we can talk about shows and stuff in a bit, but...
Yeah.
We were just speculating the other day that, you know, all of us that run the show at the time, including the honor participation, all went to school pre-ADA, which was signed in 1991.
Yes. Yep, and I actually finished school 10 years after the ADA was passed. I was done in 2000.
So you know, I always wonder what would my school training have been like, and we'll go into my school and all that another time. And this was, it was not a school for the blind. It was a public school, but they had a blind resource room, which I was part of for the first couple of years, completely. So it was, that's where my first cane was a hula hoop, and then the following year. They moved us up to canes. I remember my first cane, it had a J-hook on it. And I remember one of the first places we used it at was on a field trip to the zoo. I know we used it before then, but that was one of the first places we got to use it a lot. I remember that. And then it was so cool, the following year, that was when I first saw somebody... That's where I first saw a folding cane.
I think
they were relatively new then, back in 1990. I don't know for sure. And somebody wants to tell me otherwise, Herbie at 986themix.com, when they first came out with the folding cane. So I have no idea,
I have no idea what I started with. I thought I started with a folding cane.
I first saw one in 1990, and I remember the way he was talking about it. It seemed like it was a novel concept at the time, not as common as it is today. Though I know NFB people do not believe in the folding cane. So,
well, and we covered the getting into vehicles in podcast. 14, I believe it was 14, and various canes, and so,
I used to use a straight cane a long time ago, not the NFB ones, but an actual aluminum straight cane, because I felt that, you know, they could last longer because of the fact they were in one piece, but for the last 8 years or so, I switched to a folding cane, and...
I don't believe I've ever used a straight cane. I believe I've always used a folding one. So maybe out here, we were the first to get folding canes.
Maybe. And that. Oh, and that's the other thing, folks, I forgot to tell you. I grew up in Florida, so...
I've been used a folding cane.
You would have gone to school before I did, so.
Yeah, I started school in 86, and I think they started teaching me stuff in 88, 89.
Yep. That was the first year I saw Kurzweil, too, was in 1990, but,
That was about the time I saw Kurzweil, too.
They had the same voices that it's still, not... That I had for the longest time. Beautiful. The Deck Talk voices. Beautiful Betty.
Yep.
Perfect Paul. But we're getting the whole tech realm here.
But that's okay. Because somebody asked me if I visited... If I had heard of a site called UltraCane. I believe it's .com. And I went up there. And I love what they're offering. But Herbie... It's 675 pounds, or $775.
So tell me about this Ultra Cane.
This cane, I looked at the site, and this cane has technology in it that will, if you're using the cane properly, it will detect anything head level and give you vibrations to alert you to that.
Oh, that could be
and
cool.
I think that is, and I think that is so cool.
Now you know, you know what I ought to try is get some kind of siren that I could put on the end of my cane. That way, I can alert people when I'm coming, so they'll have no choice but to notice.
But but it's like, you know, does it really need to cost $700 just for? And I was like, gonna contact them and say, look, I was sent to your site because I was interested, because somebody asked me if I'd talk about you guys
probably
on this podcast.
Probably a lot of what you're paying for is the development of it, and I guess I'd be curious to, you know, somebody should get one and test it out.
Well, that's what I was thinking of doing, but I haven't figured, but like, I don't have 700.
Ask your family for Christmas. Hey, Kit, will you guys give me a $775 cane?
And they'd ask me I know what they'd ask. They'd be like, well, what do you need it for? You got the $41 cane? You got the $21 cane? You don't need that. Yeah, but this one is supposed
to... Just tell them you're trying to keep... Yeah, they'll just say that the problem is those cane... no, you want a cane that is going to protect...
I want a cane that's going to tell me what's head level.
Yeah.
Because these canes don't.
Maybe if enough people buy them, they'll start to come down in price, you know, especially if there's more people make them. But I don't know. I mean, it would be somewhat, you know what I really like?
And I thought that was so cool, except, like, I could just see myself contacting them going, yeah, I was sent to your site because somebody was asking me if I'd talk about this site on my podcast and the canes, but... I don't have any knowledge of it, and I don't have $700 to buy it, so...
Well, too bad you couldn't get one of the developers to come on your podcast.
Yeah. And that we could try and do, see if we can get... Because they're in London, and that was another thing. I think they're in London.
Yep.
So the time difference...
Are they including batteries, or is it a rechargeable battery for that type of thing?
Get now. I think it included batteries, but I don't remember what kind. At least your purchase included batteries anyway.
I thought of an interesting use for traffic light cameras, what they ought to do with them. Now, they ought to make, if I knew how to do this, I would. They ought to make an iPhone app that can detect when you're at a traffic light, and it can tell you what color the light is.
Now, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have misjudged those vibrating things a couple of times.
I'm just thinking about there's plenty of lights that don't have the vibrating things.
Oh, yeah, we still have lights that don't have the vibrating things.
Yeah, there's plenty of them that don't.
Yep.
So it would be useful, you know, just I mean, you should still rely on traffic patterns. Don't get me wrong. No, it would not be a replacement for that. But just knowing, okay, the light is truly green.
Yeah, because somebody told me that once. They told me the light was green, and I sensed differently. And
so, I wonder if that would ever be possible.
Or they tell me it was green, so they'd run across the street. And, like, I was sensing it was about to turn red, and that was only because I crossed there so much that, like, I sort of know. I'll let them get hit, not me. Ugh.
So, yeah.
I've had my close calls. I want to try and be safe for a while.
Yeah, good idea.
For a little while, anyway. Anyway, but all navigation points, right? You know, and I like the idea of the technology of the. You should go over there, just take a look.
Maybe I will.
But I know that it was like 635 pounds, and I asked Siri for the conversion. It said $775. I'm like, no. If he wants
Well,
me
given the
to.
current crisis, the now might be a good time to get it because given the current crisis, the pound in terms of value is falling to the dollar right now, so it might actually be a little bit let's see what it would be like right now. What is
He's about to
635 pounds converted to
get converted
dollars?
to US dollar.
£635 is $868.93.
Oh, so $800.
868. Yeah, it's gone up. But it's still expensive.
Is.
It's still no matter what. It when I did it, it was $775
Now, I'd
and
be more interested in if there was any practical reviews from people that have used it in everyday life to let's see if it's really helped them
Yeah.
or not.
And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to, that's why I posted something, asking, but I have not heard anything. And
Yeah,
so
I can use
I
state services to buy a few of those for people.
I know, right? So what else navigation wise? Navigating schools and large buildings, I guess is what I'll call this, or large areas, which include, buildings and
So the
such. What
thing with
else?
UHD is it helps. I mean, they have a couple of extra buildings, but for me, it really helped that it was one main large building, and that is easier to navigate than I've never had to try to learn to navigate a large campus. And
Yeah, yeah, they want us to meet in this one circle, which is just past Hatter Street, and then we walk, to this hallway. We turn right, we turn left, we turn right again. I think it's like the second, at least from my vantage point, it's like the second left-hand turn, where we go into this building, and we're like room 100, which is like the first door on the left. And then, like, at one point, I was being guided from, like, I was trying to call somebody to ask them where he's supposed to go, and then I get intercepted by my arm, and they're taking me to this building, which is on to the left of where this hallway is, and they're telling me it's the library, and I'm like, outside, in this room, and like it's like a hallway, and within this hallway there's other hallways, and it's like
Right.
and so like I go huddle in the corner because there were a whole bunch of people there. I already got disoriented getting there. We're
Well,
on the
that
second
brings up another
floor.
subject I could really have fun with another time. I at least find it to be a safety hazard when people want to start directing me because then I find I get all confused, especially if they tell me right and they're thinking left.
Yep.
And it's like, how do to communicate that to the sighted population that actually, you know what, you think you're being helpful, but the reality is you're not. And in
Not.
my case, at least, you're being more than not helpful. You're being a danger to me.
And I think we should talk about that on the on an upcoming
Yeah,
podcast
definitely.
because And I want to, I want to get other people on and have them talk about their experiences, and that's what this podcast is about. Having people talk about their experiences so that others can learn.
Yep.
So I'd like to
Oh,
get you
I
on
can talk
for
about a
that.
lot of fun stuff just with my experiences here in Houston.
How about your experiences in Minnesota in the snow? Talk about navigating.
That became a real problem. And of course, the places where it became a real problem had to be, of course, where I worked, which meant cab money almost every day. $7 one way, Let's see, now $14 a day. So let's say 4 days of $14, that adds up.
Yeah, 14 times 4, that's 16. 4 times 1 is 4, and 1 is 5.
Yep. And that was, so, and I also had another location that was at least $30 round trip.
Oh. Half the money you made went in cab trips.
Yeah. So that was a real problem.
So I think we should do that. We should talk about, because we did do navigation in the snow. Yeah. Well, we did navigating in the snow with John, but I don't. You know, if you want to, you know, there's always.
I don't know if I don't know the. Okay, yeah. I don't like navigating the snow. Mainly what I do not like about navigating the snow is when things are covered with snow, I'm just as blind as, yeah, because I can't feel the different surfaces. I can't feel anything that's around me.
I think I got lucky because
I got seriously lost a couple times because I could not tell what was a sidewalk, what was a curb.
Yeah.
And I nearly killed myself once by getting super lost because of that.
And I
think I could ever go back to.
You should check out the podcast that John and I did. If I ever went back
to a snowy environment, I think I would. I'd be very. You know, I know I would be a lot more careful about where I wasn't independent. So.
Well, you should. I should try and find the podcast for you, so you can hear the podcast we did on snow.
But to me, what's more of an immediate concern is, like, you know, really, like I said, the, you know, I could talk about, you know, just in Houston, people wanting to get directions, people wanting to be helpful, especially even if you tell them that you've actually got it, and
yep.
They want to get in your face and make you more nervous, and so then you're more likely not to have it, and that proves to them that you don't have it, when if they'd have left you alone, you would have been perfectly fine. Yeah, try to adjust all that. And then, especially foreign people, sometimes have the tendency to grab the cane.
Yep. I think that was...
I think I talked about them in an earlier podcast in here. Maybe I didn't.
Yeah, I think you did. And yes, we covered that in mobility training. For people. So yeah, you should check out the podcast series, Herbie, and see where we can take these various discussions.
Yep.
Because I know that you've got experience. I'm going to get somebody else on who has mobility training, but they've also got other issues. So I'm looking forward to getting other people on who are interested so that we can talk about experiences and you know, how they deal with them, so that, you know, the sighted people can be reminded that, and that's why I built White Cane, is to, you know, remind, you know, the sighted. I know I should I've got Audio Boom now, and I'm looking to try and figure out how to get White Cane out there, but I want to wait for a few podcasts so that I have something to talk about. Even though I've got stuff to talk about, but, you know, maybe that'll reach the sighted community posting to Audio Boom, because it's more public, and I can talk about it in my own words, and then get people to go over there. And so, I'm going to wait till I get a couple of podcasts out, because I just got Audio Boom not even a month ago, and, we are going to hopefully I can get the word out, and somebody could see that in the public feeds, and, you know, we can start getting noticed, is what I'm hoping. So I will continue to work on that.
Yep.
But what else?
That's it for me, at least in regards to this podcast.
All right, me too. Go ahead and give out your contact information if you wish.
So you can email me, Herbie, at 986themix.com. That's H-E-R-B-I-E at 986themix.com if you have any questions, comments, all that jazz.
All right. And I will give out the contact information for the site at the end. Herbie, go ahead.
And you can also follow me on Twitter at Furby610. That's F-U-R-B-Y-610.
Well, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Yep, all right. Definitely been a pleasure being on your podcast as well.
All right, take care. Please use White Cane Travel's contact form on whitecanetravel.com to contact the team. And if you wish to contact us by phone, you may dial Jared Reimer directly at 818-921-4976 or toll free 888-521-1804. We would prefer that you use long distance where possible. And you may also feel free to check out White Cane Travel to see what else we have to offer, including an email list, a blog, and other types of resources. So feel free and take a look, and we hope that you enjoyed the podcast. Till next time, thanks for listening.